Okay, we're now on the very top of Daf Ayin Tesam and Aleph. Let's just review. We're talking about a chritz, a ditch that separates two chatzeros, and it's called a mafsik, and we want to know, how do we fill up the ditch in such a way that it's no longer a mafsik, and we could allow for one Eruv to combine the two chatzeros. So we said the following, that our Mishnah seems to indicate that if he fills up the ditch with either afar or tsroros, with either dirt or pebbles, then that cancels the status of the chritz as a mafsik and connects the two chatzeros on the two sides of the ditch. And the issue was bistama. Our Mishnah didn't qualify it, which means that we don't require an explicit bitul. Bitul means where he says, I hereby declare that I am permanently filling up this, making a permanent landfill here on this ditch. But just simply the offer and the tsraros, the very mitzius, the very reality of the offer and the tsraros in the ditch. Again, we have various combinations. You remember Ben Yonason from yesterday, but whatever it is, that itself nullifies the mafsik. And the question was that we have a mission in Olos that seems to indicate the opposite. And that is that it's not just enough to fill in the opening with Tevin and Sroros and assume therefore that there's Bittel. No, there's no assumption of Bittel. We need a Bittel. We need an active declaration that I am being Mevatel this space, this open space. And you remember that we discussed yesterday that in the case of an OL, if there's no open space, then the tumah continues all the way up above the OL. And anything above the OL will contract tumah. Okay, so on the top of Daf Ayin Tesam and Aleph, this is where we stopped yesterday, lo bitlo lo. But the implication, it's almost explicit in the Mishnah in Olos, is that unless there was a bitl, then it's not called sasum. The very fact that he puts tsroros is not in and of itself a sosem, right? Sosem is the same as what we, in the case of a chritz, is called mole, right? Milui, it's sasum, but it's not sasum unless there was a bittul. That's the implication, and that's what we derive from the Mishnah in Olos. So there's no automatic bittul. You know, we don't say, well, tsroros is, you know, you just put it down and it's batel and it creates sasum and everything's closed up. He needs to explicitly be mevatel. He has to make a declaration, I am putting these tsroros down on a permanent basis. If he doesn't say so, and we don't know whether in the future he's going to take out these tsroros or leave them there, so in such a case, it's not considered bittul, and it's not sasum, which is good news in terms of tumah, because then the tumah becomes trapped inside the oil. But how did our Mishnah say that in the case of Ofer and Tsroros, even if it's stam, meaning even if he did not make any statement or any declaration that he's being mevatel this chritz, nevertheless it's considered molu, it's milu, it's batel. Omar Avhuna, So if Huna says that Enochinami, the Mishnah here in Erevin and the Mishnah in Olos are at loggerheads, and there's Machlokes, and whose Shita is reflected in which of these Mishnais, Humantana Olos Rabbi Yosihi. The Mishnah in Olos reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yosi. Our Mishnah here in Erevin argues against Rabbi Yosi and holds that even in the case of Stoma, it's considered Bittel. Whereas Rabbi Yosi, the Mishnah in Olos, says that he has to be Mevatelet. So the Gemara says, E Rabbi Yosi, he, meaning if the Brisa is to be attributed, I'm sorry, if the Mishnah in Olos, I meant to say, is to be attributed to Rabbi Yosi, then Ibcha Shaminale, we heard the exact opposite from Rabbi Yosi. We have a proof text that Rabbi Yosi holds that there's an automatic bittel. You don't need bittel like the Mishnah in Olos requires. This Sanya we learned in a Braisa, Rabbi Yosi Omer. And we're talking about a bias, and in this bias there's a corpse. And then he fills up the bias with Tevin, with some sort of hay. The Ein Osid Lefanoso, he has no intention to remove the Tevin in the future. And in fact, we know that he doesn't need the Tevin. He's not going to take it out there. He never stated explicitly that he's not going to take it out. Is Hareu Kistam Ofar Ubatel. It has the same status as Ofar, where even in the case of Ofar, we don't know whether he's going to take it away or not. Nevertheless, it's Batel, and Tevin is also Batel. So this airspace is considered Sasu. And this is Rabbi Yosi. So Rabbi Yosi is saying you don't need an explicit Bittel. There's a built-in, shall we call it, tacit Bittel. Now, in the case of Afar, if it was Asid Lefanoso, if we know that he has full intention of taking this Afar out of the bias because he needs it elsewhere, Hare Hu Kistam Tevin Velo Batel. So that in the case of Afar, since we know that it's Asid Lefanoso, right? This we know. It has the same status as Stam Tevin, which, if we don't know whether he's going to leave it there or not, then it's Lo Batel, it's not Batel. But you see clearly, that Rabbi Yosi holds that in the case of Tevin, the Eino Asid Lefanoso, so we know that he has no intention, then it has the same status as Stam Ofar. And therefore, it's considered Batel, simply because we know, we have evidence, that his intention is to leave it there. Although, and this is the key of keys here, he never made an explicit proclamation that he's going to leave it there. We just know through circumstantial evidence, shall we say. And in the footnote he writes, based on Rashi, Bittel Hurak Kisha Omer Beferush She'eno Rotza Litlo Misha. And Rabbi Yosi in this Braisa does not require Bittel Beferush in a case where we know that he has no intention of taking the Tevin. In a case of Stam Tevin, then it's not Batel because we don't know that he's going to leave the Tevin, and we don't know if it's Asid Lefanoso, so it's not Batel. So based on this, the Gemara says that we have to switch around the Shitos. It's not the way Rav Huna had it, that the Tana of the Mishnah Olos is Rabbi Yosi, and the Tana of our Mishnah is the dissenting view against Rabbi Yosi, but just the opposite. Ela Omer Av Asi, Man Tana Erevin, Rabbi Yosi. It's Dafka our Mishnah Erevin that holds that Afar is Stama Batel, you don't need a Bittel Beferush, that's the Shita of Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi, as we saw in the Braisa, holds that Stam Afar, even if we don't know what his future plans are, is Batel. And that's reflected by our Mishnah, because that Mishnah, as we said before, did not make any qualifications. Now the Gemara offers another alternative answer to this problem. Rav Huna, this is a more conceptual answer. Rav Huna Breder Rav Yeshua Amar Tuma Shabbos Karamis? Do you think that the laws of Afar, whether or not you need Bittel or not, apply equally in a uniform way in both Shabbos and Tuma? Hanach Iser Shabbos Tafilu Arniki Nami Mevatel Inish. Shabbos is different, and we don't derive conclusions from Shabbos to elsewhere. And something is also on Shabbos because of the Issa Tiltal. Right? On Shabbos we have an Issa Tiltal. And once the Rabbanon institute an Issa Tiltal, then there's, so to speak, a built-in Bittel. For example, let's say he has an arniki, he has a wallet. And this wallet is full of mos. It's got a bundle of wads of shkolim in it, right? So he's definitely going to take it away after Shabbos, wherever it is, but nevertheless, it's also a tiltal on Shabbos. In other words, the arniki and the mos that are within the arniki become like one and the same. So the arniki gains the status of mukta with an isur tiltal by virtue of the fact that it's holding on to mos, even though he's going to take away these mos. So therefore, if we come back to our mishnah in Erevin, in the case of the charitz, and he fills it up with afar, he's not allowed to take the offer away on Shabbos. The offer has the status of mukta. We don't know what he's going to do after Shabbos, but at least as far as Shabbos is concerned, it's batel. Now, teven, on the other hand, as opposed to offer, is not mukta. Why? Because teven is something that you feed to your animal. Right? You've seen it. The camels, you know, just eating away at the hay and the straw, whatever it is. So therefore, there's no Issa Tiltal on Shabbos. And therefore, it's not batel. So Rav Huna, Breder of Yeshua, is coming up with a major breakthrough here. And he's saying that you can have something that's batel only for 24 hours. And in this case, it means the 24 hours of Shabbos. Right? Bittel determines whether or not he's going to take it away. He fills it in. Is he going to take it away? And with regard to a chritz that he fills up with either teven in one case or offer in another case, whether or not it's batel depends upon whether it's mukta. Teven is not mukta insofar as he can feed it to his animals. Offer is always mukta by definition. There's no way that offer is not mukta. Therefore, offer is batel, but not because we have a general universal halach of bittel that if we think he's not going to take it away, then it's batel. No. It's batel because during the 24 hours of Shabbos, it's mukta, and he's not allowed to take it away. That makes it batel, like the case of the mos and the arniki. After Shabbos, he'll take out the mos from the arniki. He'll deposit in the bank, he'll buy whatever he has to buy. But nevertheless, during Shabbos, the mos and the arniki become like one entity. And the mos are batel to the arniki because of the laws of mukta. Mimela, I'm going to say the same thing about ofar, that ofar into a chritz on Shabbos is batel. Why is it batel? Maybe his intention is, he didn't make any declaration. Maybe he's going to take out the offer. He needs it for fertilizing, for his field. The answer is it's irrelevant. It's batel because he's not allowed to take it out during the course of Shabbos. It's muktz. Not so in the case of Tevin. Tevin is animal fodder, and therefore it's not muktz on Shabbos. So therefore, if he fills up this chritz between the two chatzeros with Tevin, then unless he makes an explicit bittel, then it's not batel. Now, this has nothing to do with olos. In olos, in tumah, you may require bittel. And there's no din that he has to leave it there for X number of hours or for a day. He could take it away right now. We're talking during chol. Oh. So I want to ask a ridiculous question. What would be the status of an OL and he fills it up with offer on Shabbos? Again, he doesn't have to fill it in. Let's say there was an avalanche or a crane, you know, they came and they were building and so forth and so on, and the offer came into the oil, and it's Shabbos. Would that generate tumah? And we'll say it's batel, because during the course of Shabbos, he can't take it away. So I think that's a ridiculous question. I'll tell you why. What the Gemara is doing is it's setting up different rules and different principles that govern Shabbos and tumah. Meaning Shabbos is a separate realm unto itself. And therefore, the Iser Tiltel is enough to create Bittel for those 24 hours of Shabbos, because we're only dealing with the issue of whether he's allowed to carry from one chutzah to the other, does he need an Eruv on Shabbos. So we're dealing with the laws of Shabbos. Within the context, the broader context of the laws of Shabbos, we have a Bittel that's generated by the Iser Muktzah. And therefore the offer is batel because insofar as it's Muktzah. In Tumah V'Tara, we have objective definitions and requirements of what's considered sasum. And here, the halacha requires bittel. So don't ask a question from the Mishnayos and the Olos to our Mishnah and Erevin, because they're two different worlds. In the case and the context of Tumah V'Tara, we need objective bittel. The fact that we may or may not figure out what his intention is, that's not enough. We need a formal bittel. And that's representative of Kol HaTorah Kula, any area of halacha, with the exception of Shabbos. When we're dealing with the laws of Shabbos, now we have a new criterion that generates bittel, and that's Muktzah. Muktzah itself tells me that during the course of Shabbos, this is not going anywhere. The offer is stuck in the charitz. And now we have a third answer to reconcile our Mishnah with the Mishnah in Olos. Rav Ashi Yom. Bayis acharitz karamis? Your equating the case of Tumas Mes, which is a case of a bias, with a case of a charitz? In other words, our Mishnah is talking about an afar that's batel in a charitz. And you're asking a kasha from the Mishnah in Olos where the afar is not batel to a bias? Bishleim a charitz, dimitaime koi. Well, what do you do with a charitz? It's a very dangerous kind of ditch between two courtyards. Ultimately, our intention is to fill it in. And if you're asking why in the case of charitz does our Mishnah say that the offer is batel, even in case of stam, and the answer I'll give you is because charitz is omed li sasen. What do you do with a charitz? You ultimately have to fill it in. Therefore, when he puts offer in a case of stam, where he didn't make any statement that I'm leaving the offer there, we're going to assume that his kavana is to leave it there where it is, because that's what people do with a charitz. It's omed lisasan. But bias? Do you say that a bias in general people intend to fill it up with the offer? V'chi lemitmeikai? Yes, it has a rhetorical question. Is it omed lisasan? And since it's not omed lisasan, who fills in a bias with offer on a permanent basis? Therefore, if somebody puts the offer and he didn't say a word, then we're going to assume that eventually he's going to take it out, because that's the nature of a bias. So unless he makes an explicit pronouncement that he wants it to be batel, it's not batel. So we're going to look now at our Mishnah again. The Mishnah says, Nosan Olav Neser. He's covering this chritz with a plank. And the plank is Rochav Arba Tfachim. It's 4 Tfachim wide. That's going to be a bridge that connects the two chatzeros. They can make one Eruv if they like. And the chritz is no longer a mafs. So the Gemara wants to say that there are certain situations and scenarios in which he doesn't even need this requirement that the neser, this plank, be 4 tefachim wide. Omar Rava lo shanu, this requirement that the neser be 4 tefachim wide, elokish and nasan lirachbo. Right? He puts the longer part of this plank on the rochav, on the width of the charitz. And the neser now, again, when I use the word neser, I mean the plank, is now bridging the charitz from one safa to the other safa. In other words, from one end of the ditch to the other end of the ditch, forming a bridge between one side of the ditch and the other. Avali arko. But let's say he puts the neser towards the length of the ditch, 4 tefachim, is li archo, is afilu kolshu, nami. Now, what exactly is he doing here? He's placing a plank that is 4 tefachim wide, but he's putting it on the orech, on the length of the ditch. Now, the first question we have to ask ourselves is, what exactly is holding up, is holding up this neser? I mean, it seems like it's floating in midair. I mean, if it's going across the width of the ditch, then it's a bridge and one side of the neser is resting on the ground on this side and the other on the other ground. But if it's liorech, so I'm just asking a very technical question, what keeps the neser from falling to the bottom of the ditch? So the answer is he has what's called yesedos, which means he plugs in pegs, I don't know, I'm going to use the word pegs, and that attaches this neser to the side of the ditch. Now, the question I want to ask you is, so how does this work? In other words, I understand that if you make it easy to go from one side of the ditch to the other by putting a plank to its width, that's one thing, but if you're putting the plank to the length, so what have you accomplished? And the answer is, Share miyato me'arba. In other words, a ditch, a charitz, is only a mafzik if it has the width of 4 tefachim. Once you put something in its orech, in its length, you have diminished the width of the ditch. It's no longer 4 tefachim wide. He writes here, Shemitchilo haya charitz rochav arba tfachim, kevin shemiyato bekolshu, v'mokum shemiyato, eino rochav arba tfachim, v'kevin shorech haneser hu arba tfachim, is nimtza sheyesh arba tfachim bi'orech achritz, she'eino rochavim arba tfachim, v'noach lifsoa bohem, mechotze lechotze. Umakum zeh v'shamish kepesach bein achatzeus yicholim heim li'orav yachad. He's trying to answer another question here, very long presentation that I just read to you. He's bothered by the following issue. This neser is only 4 tefachim wide. The ditch goes from here to there throughout the entire chatzer. I mean, the chatzer is more than 4 tefachim, obviously. So how does this have an impact on that part of the charitz where there's no neser? Do you follow? So again, what's the purpose of this charitz liorech? It's reducing the width of the ditch. Yeah, but it's only reducing the width of the ditch for that 4 tefachim of the length of the neser. So he answers with the halacha of Pesach. What's the halacha? That whenever you have a mafsik between two chatzeros, you need a chalon, you need some sort of a window or a Pesach to overcome that mafsik and create an open way between the two. Like, for example, in the case of the kosa that's 10 tefachim high, so the sulam, the ladder, serves as a pesach. Here, in the area where he adds this neser, liorech, he's got a charitz which is less than 4 tefachim wide. Once he reduces it there at that point, he already has a Pesach. And that Pesach has an impact on the entire charitz, from one end of the charitz to the other. And it's no longer a mafsik. So this is the brilliant insight of Rava. And Rava says that, obviously you need a thick plank if you want to serve, if the plank is serving as a bridge between one side and the other, we're not walking tight ropes. But if you're talking about orech, then what's the thickness of the plank? It's certainly not 4 tefachim thick, and that's what he calls kolshu, because again, the kolshu only serve one purpose and one goal. And that is to be mamayit the rochav of the ditch. The ditch is 4 tefachim wide. As soon as he puts this neser in, which he attaches to the side of the ditch with the pegs that we spoke about before, he has already reduced the rochav and made it less than 4 tefachim. All we need is a mashu. Right, now the Mishnah speaks about shtei guz churos. Zo keneged zo. So we have two porches, and he sets up a plank, a neser, that is 4 tefachim wide between the two gestros, both of which are on the same side, so he can walk from one porch, one veranda, to the other. And therefore, those people who are dayorim in this house, which has this gestro, this veranda, can make an eruv with the dayorim in the other house, the contiguous house, that has a veranda, because between the two verandas we have a plank that's 4 tefachim wide. Amar Rava, again an insight of Rava, Hadi Amrit Zo Keneged Zu, that which the Mishnah says, that the neser has to be 4 tefachim wide in order to take the to bridge from one gustra to the other gustra. And it's got to be zo keneged zo, which means that both porches that jut out are exactly aligned one to the other. Zo keneged zo in, only if it's exactly zo keneged zo, but shalom keneged zo, In other words, if, let's say one veranda sticks out more than the other veranda, is low. We don't say that a neser that's wide, that's four tefachim wide, and will take you from one veranda to the other, will allow you to make one eruv. That's not true. Not in the case of shalom, of zo shalom keneged zo. So imagine, you know, it's funny that I'm learning this Gemara with you, because this is exactly what we're doing in our apartment in Rabbi Meir. Our next door neighbor has a veranda, and we were able to get a veranda that stretches further out into the public alleyway. And I'm not sure exactly what the technical name for this very fancy technology is, but basically, it's not really a porch. It's so interesting that we can do this today. It's being held up by, I mean, obviously we had an engineer to give us the okay. He had to sign a document but what it is, it's basically being held up by these major steel I don't know what to call them. I wish I had the technical name for it, but my wife is not home right now. She would tell you. But in any event, so getting back to Agamara, you have two verandas next to each other, but one veranda stretches out longer than the other. And therefore, says Rava, even if you put a plank between the two, such that you could walk from one veranda to the other, it's not going to help. It's not going to combine the two goose to rose to make it into one Erev, so that one Erev would serve both. And the obvious question is why? What is the problem if one veranda stretches beyond the other out into Rishus Sarabim? If after all he put this Neser down and you could walk from one to the other. He says the following. Kosav Rabbi Kiveger, one of the great minds in Ashkenazic Jewry in the last two and a half centuries ago, Eino Yodea, Eze Tam Yesh Bamesha Gusros Boltos Yosef Michaverto, Shemishum Kach Lo Yuchlu Li Arev Biyachat. He says, I don't understand the logic here that underlies Rava's principle that they cannot make a common Erev because one is bolate, one is shutting out more than the other. The Eino Yodea, Madua lo Pirush Rashi, Kmosha Pirush Rabbeinu Yonason, Shezu Keneged Zu, Hainu Shagustros, Yotzos Me'abatim, Shemishnei Tzide, Rishus Harav, Mechuvano Zu Mul Zu. So Rabbeinu Yonasan has a different take on what Rava meant when he said Zo Shalo Keneged Zo. It's not that there's two good straws on the same side, on the same facade, you know, like you have attached houses that face Rishus HaRabim, and one good, the way Rashi says one good straw, juts out more than the other. But rather, the way Rabbeinu Yonasan understands it, that Zo Keneged Zo means there are two houses on two sides of Rishus HaRabim. And now, if you put a platform that would allow you to walk from one side, or shall we say from the veranda of one bias, across Rishus HaRabim to the veranda on the other side, that's not going to enable a tziruf, you know, a chibur from these two verandas to create an Eruv. V'zo shalo keneged zo, hainu she'en hagusros omdo zu mul zu. Rakba lakso neim krova zu zu. You know, let's say you had an apartment, like, let's say you had two apartments on two sides of Rishus HaRabim, and they both have a bedroom here on the left side and a kitchen on the right side, and this apartment has its veranda off the kitchen, and this apartment has its veranda off the living room. So they don't even correspond one veranda to the other. The only way you would actually connect them is with a diagonal. So basically, Rabbi Kivega here is rooting ra-ra-ra for Rabbi Yonah's son against Rashi. So he quotes the Nachal Ha'aravim, I'm not familiar with the Sefer, who tries to explain Rashi. He says, Shabbatim shemihem yotzos ha-gusturos enom omdim b'shaveh ela echemihem bolet yosel l'shusarab. Do you hear what he's saying? It's true that according to Rashi, both verandas from the facade of attached houses are coming out from the same side. They don't cross over l'shusarab. But on the other hand, one house protrudes, or let's say there are more bricks and so forth, into Rosh Hashanah than the other house. And therefore, Einam Om De Bishova, Magia, Veina Gustro Shalabayis, Sheina Bola Rosh Hashanah, Magia Gustro Shalabayis Abola Rosh Hashanah. In other words, if my veranda is punched in, so to speak, because my house is not as extended as your house, then there's no way I can get from my veranda to your veranda. And therefore, v'lo nitan laniach nesem migustra l'gustra ela balakson. So the only way, as we saw in Rabbi Yonah's son, Rashi also agrees that the only way you could set up this plank that'll connect the two porches is only on a diagonal. So that's the interpretation of Rashi. So in effect, Rashi didn't want to learn like Rabbi Yonah's son, that, you know, we're talking about two houses on two sides of Rosh Hashanah. That doesn't make sense to Rashi. But Shelo Keneged Zeh means you still need a diagonal in the plank in order to get from one veranda to the other. Now he quotes a Tosfos. If you turn back for a second to the previous Amud, there's a Tosfos, a very small Tosfos, Divrei Maskil V'chein. Actually, I'm not sure if that's right. One second. Oh, I'm sorry. That V'chein is here on Ayin Tes. It's the same Divrei Maskil V'chein, but it's back on Ayin Ches Amud Beis. So Tosfos asks the following: Eze tam yesh b'mesha ena gustros omdo zo k'neged zu, shemishum kach nomar sheneser ena moel letzar from li'ariv la'ariv yachad. Rabbeinu Yonason Bir Alpi Darko, Kevin Sheena Gesha Yashar Elhu Omeid Balakson. Right, because as we said, one porch is coming from the kitchen and the other porch is coming from the living room. Right? And they're right on two different bottom on two sides of Shusarabim. So he needs a diagonal shaped neser plank to get from one to the other. Adam misyare lavarbo. It's quite dangerous because you have this entire airspace in between the two gustros, between the two planks, and if you fall in between, you're in deep trouble. Harashba kosa b'shem tos, kevan shu nosin es haneser b'zavis shel hagustra, eino yochale choshev kepesah. Yishum she'ein derech b'nei Adam lasos Pesach b'keren zavis. All right, so the Rashba says that this is called a keren zavis. It's on an angle, and that's not the normal way you make a Pesach. Now let's go back to Rava. Zola malami zo. Now we have a case where he sets up a veranda on the second floor of this two-story building and another veranda on the first floor, on the ground floor. So one is above the other. Is then Nami. Again, he's going to say the same thing, that the Neser, even though it's got a Rochav of four, Tfachim is not, it's not successful and it's not viable to be mitzarif the two verandas. So this is called a case of Zola Maila Mizo. Now let's go back to the previous case where we had Zo Shalo Keneged Zo. That was the first case. He says, Lo Amaron Ela Kishayesh Bein Zela Zeh Shlosha Tfachin. Right, so in the case of Zo Shalo Keneged Zo, so they were going to say that what? That a Neser for Tfaf doesn't help you. That's only if the distance between the Gustros is three Tfachim or more. Aval Ein Bein Zel is Eshlosha is Gustra Akumahi. If the distance between the two Gustros is less than three Tfachim, then if you set up a neser between the two gustros and it has the rochav of arba tfachim, they can make one eruv, one common eruv to both of them. And the reason for that is gustra mukahi akumahi. We see the two gustros as one gustra that happens to be, so to speak, crooked. So let's just see how this fits in to Rashi. Rashi is saying that one, they're both on the same side, but one of the gustros is bolate. It extends beyond the other one into Rishus Arav. But now he's got love. In other words, the airspace between the two gustros is less than three tefach. So then we can combine the two gustros in one, and we'll call it akumahi. It's just a little bit off center. That's according to Rashi. According to Rabbi Yonah's son, I'm a little bit confused. What does he mean by gustra akuma? I mean, you have these two gustros on two sides of the street. He says, Kevan she'en rechoko zumi zu shlosha, afsha omed haneser be'alakson, the rosho echa gavoa yoser, is ain b'neodim yirim lavarbo. Shuv shava din bazel gushal saomdo zu keneged zu. Shikshiyesh b'neim neser abo yicholim heim la'ariv yachat. Tein chisorim b'meshem omdos zu keneged zu. The efshaler osam ki gushal achas akuma. I find this very, this is a kvetch here, to say that it's comfortable and secure to go from one veranda to the other across Rishus HaRavim because of the plank that's four tvachim wide. I don't know. This looks a little scary to me to walk a plank above Rishus HaRavim, according to Rabbeinu Yonasan. According to Rashi, all right, you have one veranda next to another veranda, just that they, you know, they're boltos. So do you need a neser or not? And the answer is, well, you know, if they're close one to the other, you just, you know, you take a hop and a skip. You know, it's only 2.9 tefachim. I don't know, it's a little bit scary to me if you have two verandas on two sides of Rishus HaRavim. You're much high up in the ground, and you're going to have to jump, you know, 2.9 tefachim to get from one veranda to the other. All right. It's not so bad. So let's just for a moment go back to Zoh. Lamalamiso. In the case of Zolamalamiso, we said that a Neserach of Arba is not going to help to be Mitzarif the two Chatzeros. Now let's go through Rashi and through Rabbeinu Yonasan. According to Rashi, you've got two buildings, and on the facade of both buildings, you have a veranda, Gustra, that's Lamala on this side and Lamata on that side, so they're on different height levels from the ground, and that's called Zo Lamal Mizo. One is higher than the other, and setting up a Neser is not going to do it, as we said before, because it's very dangerous, you know, to walk a plank that's high and then you know, if you fall off below, and the Neser goes on an incline diagonally up. According to Rabbeinu Yonasan, it's even more to be understood, because not only are the two verandas on two sides of Rishus HaRavim, you know, the facade of one building on one side, the facade of the other on the other build on the other side of Rishus HaRavim. So that, you know, you really have to jump over Rishus HaRavim to get from one porch to the other. But not moreover, we're talking about a case where the, you know, one gushra is higher than the other. You know, this is really a challenge. But on the other hand, when we spoke about just one second, but when we spoke about the din that a neser of four tefachim is not viable, is not valid to be ma'ariv together, and that was in a case of ein agazro zu keneged zu, but rather zu shelo keneged zu. Or let's say Zula Malavizu, actually. That's another case where the Neser, even though it's for Tfachim, is not going to be Mitzarif them from one Eruv. That's only when we don't have the Lovud element in the equation. If Ein Bein Zelazeh Shlosha, so the distance between one Guzra and the other is less than three, which, again, we could take it for Rabbeinu Yonah's son, and we could take it for Rashi. If Rashi, we're talking about two verandas on the same side, and now the distance between them is less than three, so then even though it's a case of zoo Shalom Keneged Zu, which we said according to Rashi, one is Bolet more, but they're closer. Or according to Rashi, in the case of Zu Lamalami Zu, they have the equal Blita, but one is higher than the other. And now the distance between them is less than three Tfachin. I mean, again, that's very understandable in the Reisha, where it's not Zo Keneged Zo, and one is Boled, because I honestly believe I understand why the Neser that's for Tfachim is going to be a bridge between the two Gustros, and it's comfortable to go from one Gustra to the other. The fact that one is Boled more doesn't have to bother me. In fact, we worked very hard to understand in Rashi's context why Bechlal this halach of, you know, one is longer than the other, why should that make any difference? And that's where we mentioned the Nachal Aravim that Rashi's talking about, where they're not Omdim B'Shava. Now, but according to Rabbi Yonah's son, you know, you're talking about two houses on two sides of Rosh Hashanah. So if they're on the same level, meaning as far as Gova is concerned, then we're going to ask the question, what is the distance between the two verandas? And they're very close to each other, so you just hop from one to the other. Therefore, you have a neser that's pachos mishlosh tefachim, and that's fine. Now, if we're talking about two verandas on two sides of Shusram, is one is higher than the other, it's a little bit more challenging to understand how comfortable it would be is if the plank is less than three tefachim, meaning, I don't mean the plank itself is four tefachim wide, but I mean the plank has to bridge an airspace that's less than three tefachim. That's a little bit more of a challenge to make that comfortable and travel from one, you know, from one house to the other across Rosh Hashanah. I wonder about that. Anyway, let's just make a note of where we got up to. We're up to the Mishnah here on Daf Ayin Tes Amud Aleph. And this is a Mishnah that we referred to earlier, the Mishnah of Metamein.